A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" The word of the Lord. The context for today's selection from Luke's Gospel is a time of prayer. The chapter begins, Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples want him to teach them how to pray. They have observed that prayer for Jesus is more than a daily prayer regimen or a day or night spent in prayer before major decisions. They have noted that it's more than that. It is an integral part of Jesus' life. His actions, his behavior clearly flow from it, and they want to know his secret. So his response begins, "When you pray, say," and very simply, in a few short sentences, Jesus enunciates a format for prayer that contains basically two fundamental elements, God and us. Prayer is about God in relationship with us. Prayer is about acknowledging the transcendence and sovereignty of God and our human neediness. And still, it is also about an intimacy in that relationship. Jesus instructs the disciples and us to address God as Abba, our Father, our cherished Father. Prayer is also communal. Even when I pray alone, it is never completely personal. I pray to our Father, and the petitions are corporate. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Do not subject us to the final test. Books on prayer abound today. Just as the disciples wanted to know how to pray, we continue the search. Why, I wonder, do we feel the need for more than what Luke's account here tells us? Could it be that the utter simplicity of prayer eludes us? That simple praise of our God and petitions for food, forgiveness, fidelity seem just that, too simple? Maybe Anne Lamott's recent book title, "Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers," maybe that isn't as quirky as her writing reputation often suggests. Maybe a reflection on our own prayer history, the story of each of our own unique experience in our prayer life, could be valuable. How do I pray now? How did I pray as a child, as a youth, at all the different stages of my life? Did my family pray? How? Who and what have been influences on my prayer over the years? What has changed? Has my prayer changed me? Where has it taken me? Today's gospel reading led me on that path of reflection. For me, a lot has changed. Some has stayed the same. For example, fewer words, more expansive or universal in context and content are noted changes for me. Intercessory prayer, petitions for myself and others, reliance on a select few memorized prayers, these remain pretty constant over the years. This exercise brings us to great gratitude for God's gift of prayer, for those who first put us on the path of prayer, and for all that has sustained us in a variety of ways along that path. Even poets like Mary Oliver, who writes on praying this way. She says, "It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak.